Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up later, I'll be speaking with the Executive Director of AgriAware, Deirdre O'Shea, about the organisation's campaign to encourage people to buy local and Irish produce this Christmas. But first this evening, turkey. Yes, it's that time of year when the meat is in big demand. For many, Christmas just would not be the same without the Christmas turkey. I've been speaking with a local producer, Don Pearson of DP Foods, about the turkey sector and what it entails for him at this particularly busy time of the year. Don Pearson, you've been involved, indeed your family's been involved in the turkey business for several decades. You're the proprietor of DP Foods, and we're now coming up to peak season for you. So tell us about the year for a turkey producer. How does it all come about to get to the stage where we're having the turkey on the Christmas table?
Hi, Chris. The turkey year for the turkey producer really starts in February, where we have to place our orders for the day-old or six-week-old turkey, depending on how you would decide to rear them. The first turkeys will start to arrive. I rear them from 5 weeks old, so the first turkeys start to arrive with me at the end of September. I say they're 5 weeks old at that stage. It took them 30 days to hatch, so they've been laid June, July. So that's why their orders have to be placed in February.
And just how quickly do they actually grow?
A good rule of thumb, if you order a 12-pound weight turkey or a 14-pound weight turkey, it's generally 12 weeks or 14 weeks old. Not exactly, it's not an exact science, but it's a good rule of thumb. I say it's usually a pound per week, you know, that type of thing. So.
Now, years ago, we would have had quite a few turkey producers and some people on a small scale, but I suppose like so many other sectors, we've seen the number of players involved being reduced and there's more rules and regulations.
Oh, you're right too, Chris. As everyone knows, that every farmer's wife around the whole country, in this, and certainly in this county anyway, would have had 20 or 50 turkeys and killed them themselves, sold them to their local friends, family and neighbours, but those days are gone. People can still keep the turkeys. They're strictly monitored as well by the Department of Agriculture, but they can still keep them, but they're just not allowed to kill them. The turkeys have to be killed now and properly recognised and sanctioned plants, so they do.
And of course, if one does expand, that always means capital expenditure. In your own case, DP Foods, you've a pretty sort of a consistent level of output there. You know your market and exactly what you want.
Chris, we have the same customers coming to us year after year after year. Give or take a few, you know, you have to allow a wee bit of play, but I really know my customers that are coming year after year, so I have a fair idea of the numbers. As I say, there will be a wee bit of play in that, but I could sell more, but I'm at my limit. I really can't do any more than I'm doing, so I can't.
Now, the turkey market traditionally would have been very much geared just around Christmas, and I suppose we've more and more frozen foods out there, and it's become a product that you do see now at all time of years, but still, at the end of the day, most people identify it with Christmas. For somebody buying a turkey and they're looking for a quality product, the taste and everything, does the size of the bird come into play much?
Well, at Christmas time, what everybody looks for is the female turkey. Usually, a nice plump turkey will be somewhere in the region of 15 to 20 pound weight. They are fully matured at that stage. The 10 to 12 pound weight turkey, there's a lot of waste in those because it still has the same bone structure as the 15 to 20 pound weight turkey, so you're not getting the same bang for your buck, as they say. But still, at Christmas time, everybody looks for female. It's interesting you say there about turkey during the year. A lot of people don't even associate that they've eaten turkey during the year. They say, oh, it's sure, turkey's only Christmas, and you know, you never get turkey. But then when you say to them, well, were you at a wedding recently? Were you at a dinner dance? Then you have turkey and ham. People don't seem to associate the turkey that they get during the year at a catering establishment as the same turkey as they're eating at Christmas. Now, the turkey they would have got during the year would have been a bigger meal turkey, because that's what the catering industry wants and requires. So the turkey they do get at Christmas would be a slightly, it would be a tastier turkey than maybe during the summer. And then everybody has their own way of cooking it in their own houses. Their mummies always taught them how to cook their own turkey, so that would have an effect on it as well.
And for people who are going out and buying a turkey, and maybe the person who's not too fussy about what they're buying, are there a lot of imports, or are they mainly, what we're buying, are they mainly produced in this country?
No, Chris, there's an awful lot of imports, an awful lot of imports. And it's same as with a lot of things. It's like regulations, they're coming in from the continent and they're cheaper. People think a lot of foreign, a lot of turkey and chicken would come from further afield, in Asia and all the rest of it, but most of the turkey would be coming in from the continent, Poland, Italy, that sort of thing. They are a cheaper product. They're a different breed of turkey. They wouldn't be as meaty of a turkey. They'll look great when they're packed up and vacuum packed and frozen, and you'll see this nice wee plump looking pack, but then when you defrost it or take it out of that pack, you realise that you haven't got exactly what you were looking for.
And just on that point, the different types of breeds, are there ones that are particular to this country?
Yeah, the turkey that's reared in this country would generally be what was known as a BUT8 or a BUT6. That's just the breed of them. Roughly there would be about 65% breast meat, 35% leg, where the turkey on the continent would be, it's a different breed, and it would, they actually breed them to have bigger legs because there's a demand on the continent for leg meat, and so that's why there's less breast meat on the turkey you would buy from the continent.
And in terms of the feed for the turkeys, when you have them there, what exactly are the rations, or what are you feeding them with?
Well, it's a produced ration and a feed mill. It's a very high energy food. Turkey feed is actually very expensive, so it's one of the most expensive feed out there because it's so high in energy. So there's a lot of, to get the energy levels that's needed, there's an awful lot of soybean put on it, which puts the price of the turkey feed up. Where our sheds are all naturally ventilated, it's actually, you don't want them too cold, but it's almost a case of the colder the better, because they get fully feathered. If the sheds are too warm, now coming near the kill date, so to say, they will start producing smaller feathers and they're harder to pluck, so you want turkeys who have a full feather on them, and they use those to keep warm. So that's you don't want them cold, you don't want drafts, but you do like a good airflow running through the shed. So no, the heating has all been used at the early days, so it doesn't really affect it at this time of year.
Now, many people will go to their local butcher or local farmer that they know, or your good selves. When is the optimum time to actually get that fresh turkey? How close do you leave it to Christmas?
Well, anybody collecting a turkey here, we will not let it out before Saturday the 23rd of December, because we can guarantee at that stage that we have kept it properly. We've run into situations where people have taken turkeys earlier and they've gone off, and you know, they will say they kept it in the fridge, but the ordinary household fridge isn't going to keep your turkey cold enough to keep it, especially if it's going to be a mild Christmas. Hopefully it will be a mild Christmas, but 23rd of December would be the ideal date to pick up the turkey.
Over the years, there has been the odd scare in relation to infections and diseases that can hit all animals, of course. And what sort of steps do you have to take to prevent anything like this happening?
Well, Chris, as with all farms nowadays, that you have a high level of biosecurity. You have foot tips at the door. You control the visitors coming in. Wild birds is a big thing. You can't. You have to take steps to prevent wild birds getting into the shed. Luckily, Ireland, the poultry business in Ireland has a disease-free status at the minute. There isn't a lot can go wrong, but generally if it does go wrong, it's catastrophic because of the numbers involved with poultry, that if one bird has it one day, well, you could find out that a shed of 1,000 has it the next day, so that it is quite catastrophic if a disease does get in. But touch wood, I say Ireland has a completely disease-free status on a complete poultry for stock at the moment, on chickens, ducks, geese, turkeys, anything you name it, it's completely disease-free.
I'm speaking with Don Pearson, the proprietor of DP Foods. Just tell us a little bit about the family-run business, Don. Where exactly you're based and when it all began?
Chris, we're based, we're exactly 5 miles from Rafoe and 3 miles from St. Johnson. We're just in the middle of everything. And if to go further afield, it takes 15 minutes to get to us from Letterkenny and 15 minutes to get to us from Derry. My father put in his first turkeys in 1983. He put in 12 turkeys. And then the following year, we put in 100, and then another year, 100, and then eventually started to take off. We have, as I say, there's people coming to us for years, but there's one person in particular who has got a turkey every year, including the year where we got, where Dad had 12 turkeys, and they've come every year. We have an order book that goes back right to our order books, but we have all the order books going right back to the very start. So I've said different times, it's looking at our order books is like a family history, because you can see as families get older, where turkeys are increased. Maybe a man would have got a 12-pound turkey, and then as he has a family, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then all of a sudden, this man could order two turkeys, where the son has moved away, and his father bought him a turkey, and then his son starts getting bigger. So it's almost like people watching, looking back in our order books, because you can see the complete family history almost.
And finally, Don Pearson, an important factor, price. What are the prices like for the producer and for the customer this year?
The turkey price has been fairly consistent this last 5 or 6 years. I said earlier about the food price being expensive. It is expensive, but it hasn't really increased too much. Generally, you should be looking at buying a whole turkey somewhere in the region of €3 to €3.30 per pound. Turkey breast meat, which is getting more and more common and more popular, especially amongst the younger households, you should be looking at a price range of around about €4.50 to €5 a kilo, or thereabouts, €4.50 to €5.20 per pound, sorry, not per kilo. And that's your rough idea of your price range.
And tell me this, do you eat an awful lot of it yourself?
Actually, we do. My kids actually love turkey, so that we would eat turkey probably at least once a month. Where during the year, we would always just have a bit of breast, cook a bit of breast roll, you know, it's handy for the Sunday dinner, it's handy for sandwiches. But come Christmas, it has to be a whole turkey.
Yeah, and I dare say when it's all over, it's definitely time in your case to put the feet up after all that hard work.
Wish that story was true, Chris, and I'm glad to say that it's not, because I'm fairly busy during the year, but the actual period between Christmas and New Year is a very busy period, because that's a busy catering time where for Christmas Day people stay in and have their Christmas dinner. For New Year's Day, people are quite often going out to restaurants. So the period between Christmas and New Year is actually a very busy period. So Boxing Day, 12 o'clock, we're back at it full swing here.
Don Pearson there, proprietor of DP Foods. Back in 1996, a number of leading agri-food businesses identified the need for an independent body to provide the general public with information and education on the importance of agriculture and food to the Irish economy. AgriAware was subsequently set up. At this time of year, it encourages people to support Irish farmers and Irish food producers. Its executive director is Deirdre O'Shea. She's been telling me more about its current campaign.
We have an annual appeal to shoppers at Christmas time to ensure they buy Irish produce and support local farmers. So we have a radio ad that will feature for 2 weeks over the Christmas period, when shopping is high on the agenda of the consumer, and we hope that they look out for the Board BIA Quality Assurance Mark and buy Irish this Christmas.
And let's not forget the importance of the whole food sector and the farming sector. We're talking something in the region of 170,000 people directly employed in the agri-food sector, and that just, I suppose, indicates how important it is to the economy.
Absolutely, it's a huge contributor to the economy, and one in every eight jobs are related to the agri-food sector, so it's a huge, hugely important part of our economy, with exports as well worth over $12 billion last year. And we actually carried out some research recently in AgriAware through an Ipsos MRBI survey, and 95 of those who were surveyed, 95% responded to say that they felt that agriculture was hugely important to the economy here in Ireland. So I suppose this is one way in which we can evaluate the work we do in AgriAware, and just to give a brief overview of AgriAware and what we're all about. We're an independent educational body for the Irish agri-food sector, so we recently just celebrated our 20th anniversary. So our main mission or objective in AgriAware is to ensure that there's a positive image of our industry, both at primary producer level and the wider agri-food industry among members of the general public. So this Christmas ad campaign is just one of the many activities that we do throughout the year.
And important to stress that money spent locally on local produce goes back, to some degree certainly, into the local economy. So the less leakage, the better.
Absolutely, yes. So that's the main message behind the campaign, is to support your local community and your local farmers this Christmas time by buying that Irish produce. And I suppose just one of the other things, and IFA are highlighting this in a current campaign as well, in terms of ensuring that the farmers receive a fair price from the supermarket. And one of the statistics, interestingly enough, that came through from that survey that we recently published was that 88% of those that were surveyed said that legislation should be introduced to ensure that farmers do receive a fairer price from the retailer. So I think there is quite a strong support from the general public in terms of supporting Irish and ensuring the sustainability of our farming community going forward, which is really positive to see, because as I said, this is one of the ways where AgriAware can actually evaluate the work that we're doing in terms of educating the general public. So it's great to see those figures coming through so strong, because there would have been a similar survey done at baseline 20 years ago, and it's great to see that the figures are continuing to increase from that period.
And likewise, if we cast our minds back to 20 years ago, there wasn't too much talk about traceability, but everybody really understands what it's about now. And that's, I suppose, a trump card for the Irish agri-food sector, because it's one of our real strengths.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the standards that Irish farmers have to adhere to, and farmers across Europe, they're very high. And that's one of the other figures, actually, that did come through quite strongly, was in terms of people's perception of the standard of food that we produce across Europe versus the rest of the world. And 87% felt that the standards across Europe were higher than everywhere else in the rest of the world. So, and again, it's back to the systems that we have here in Ireland in terms of our grass-fed dairy and beef systems, which allows us to produce a really high quality product, has become more affordable for the consumer. I mean, we run, and the radio ad campaign is part of a bigger, a 12-month campaign communicating specifically the Common Agricultural Policy. And I suppose if you look at the benefit to the general consumer of the Common Agricultural Policy, it allows farmers, first of all, I suppose, to produce this high-quality food, but it also makes it more affordable for the consumer.
Deirdre O'Shea, Executive Director of AgriAware. Just time for the livestock prices. Cattle prices, steer based €3.95 to €4 a kilo. Heifers making €4.05 to €4.10 a kilo. Young bulls are grade €3.95 a kilo. U grade €4.10 a kilo. And cows making €3.20 to €3.75 a kilo. And lamb prices, strong demand, prices of €4.85 to €4.95 a kilo, with factories paying up to €5 a kilo. Well, that's it for this evening's edition. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.